Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. What was I saying the other day about Windows 10 being a memory pig and not really being very efficacious with a 32-bit system? Well, thank you, Windows 10 reboot. Thank you for making us 6 minutes late to air on this, the 31st day of May 2016. Yeah, oh well. That's where we are. But this program is live. Yes, indeed. No kidding. It really, really is. I'll pull the drum loop back just a little bit. There we go. The program is live, and like I said, it is the 31st day of May 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live on the interweb tubes. I'm told in the chat room that it is the first 100-degree-plus day in Northern California. That means that longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky will not, being a third stage guild navigator, be folding space this evening to become Man Cave because the Man Cave has folded space to become a blast furnace. Yes. And good evening to Sparky and to longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Lottie. Thank you very kindly for being there. Good little crowd already beginning to gather. In the room, good evening to Anatole and Jug of Punch and Jules and Soapbox Geezer and Trey. More to wander along presently, including you, your own wonderful self. Should you choose so to do, all you've got to do is go to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. Mm-hmm. And you'll be right in there in the midst of the madcap merriment and the multimedia real-time extravaganza. Yes, indeed, you will. Let's see. Like I said, it's the 31st day of May. May is at an end. It's been kind of, well, we had a rough patch there, but we got past it mercifully. So we got past all the monsoon season, at least for the time being. Beautiful days last couple of days outside, and it's a balmy 77 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios this afternoon. So we've got a nice. Nice broadcast opportunity in front of us. And thank you very kindly, right out of the gate as we get started this evening. Thank you very kindly to Charles we ended with a deficit last night, and we would have had a deficit. But May fundraising is over. Thank you to Charles. Thank you very kindly, Charles. It came as quite a surprise. Thank you, Charles. In Michigan for finishing up May for us and getting us started on June. Thank you indeed. All right, it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Thank you, by the way, in the chat room. Thank you, Anatole. $50 via PayPal to you on Wednesday, Mr. Bob. Thank you, Anatole. Thank you very, very much. That will work nicely because come tomorrow, Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge will be on the table. And so the first $200 that come in tomorrow will get doubled courtesy of Shirley in Wisconsin. And yes, the Swede has been beaten once more. Remember, all year long during 2016, we've got a Beat the Swede all year long challenge going on. We beat the Swede in January for a $50 bonus at the end of the month. We beat the Swede in February for a $60 bonus at the end of the month. We beat the Swede in March for a $70 bonus at the end of the month. We beat the Swede in April for an $80 bonus at the end of the month. And yes, we beat the Swede in May, and that would be $90. So this June, coming up tomorrow, Beat the Swede will be a $100 bonus challenge. But yes, the Swede has been beaten in the month of May. Take that, Swede. Now, all of that courtesy of our buddy Scott in Sweden. Thank you very, very much, Scott. So that's where we find ourselves this evening. And again, like I said, it is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. You may recall that Titanic Tuesday is named for something that happened many years ago now in the dim and misty distance of broadcast radio in America's fifth smallest radio market, namely Beckley, when one of the world's most pretentious and stentorious monotone right-wingers, Steve, declared to one of his knuckle-breathing, mouth-walking followers, who asked him, "Steve, why you reckon it is that they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't nowhere near beach." To which Steve responded, and several cars narrowly missed hitting telephone poles because the monotony of his voice could just immediately send you into a mesmerized. Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Mm-hmm. Yes. Still, all these years later, still no word on the movement of the Titanic melon ballers. No. So that's where Titanic Tuesday comes from. And Titanic Tuesday is designed to highlight, to showcase, if you will. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. 12 minutes may be the longest I've ever been. I really am. Titanic Tuesday is designed to showcase, low light, if you will, evidence of right-wing attempts to engage in thought, because they don't think very well. And when they do, quite often, it is more than a little bit, it's horrifying, but we have to have our fun. And to a certain extent, it's entertaining. Rather entertaining. So we do. We showcase. I think that's the word we want. We showcase. Incidents of attempted thought on the part of your various and sundry assorted birthers, deathers, baggers, ninthers, tenthers, deathers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, republicans, conservatives, what have you. And the showcase is about the size of an airplane, of the airplane hangar for Howard Hughes's spruce goose that's still on display, I think. It's about that big. It's a huge showcase this evening, in other words. Let's see. Before we jump into that, though, a couple of couple of emails because these are always dandies. One of the a member of the Trinity of Steve. Subject line: Red Hot Dodge, or Beating the Dog. I like that. That's almost as good as the double naming of Bullwinkle episodes. Regarding the Fox idiot, that would be Clayton Morris, but aren't they all, who was sent on what was clearly a fool's errand. Bob, you know where this sort of thing is bound to go when you send a weenie out on a street to take the pulse of another man's wiener. I mean, a hard-working man ain't going to just squirt out an opinion on such a touchy issue. Oh, we're off and running. Especially right there in front of everybody and anybody. We're talking tubular meat stuff matters here. The stuffing or the stuff, the long or the short of it, stiff or limp, steamed, boiled, or grilled. It ain't as simple as the next hot shaft of available protein. May as well cross the line. Start on about light or dark, sweet or salty. Who's getting the beef? Maybe the pork. Are you going to be the bold one, Bob? Saunter up to the first dude you meet, get in his face, and seriously suggest mayonnaise. Is that un-American? A bit too decadent or French? No, sir, not this Frankfurter fan. I'm pretty sure the Earl of Sandwich was slapping someone's meat between two thick, wobbly slices. But as something like a dose of sanity in these troubling times, I am reminded of a definition of that most fundamental of sandwiches mentioned in passing by no less a luminary than Bill Cosby. Cheap, easy to make, a favorite throughout the land, the humble, jam sandwich. It's been making something of a comeback, I hear. Here's the recipe: 2 pieces of bread jammed together. Bon appetit. Regards, Steve in China. Yes. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I mean, mayonnaise on a hot dog? Well, that's the kind of thing that gets conversations going, that generates 16 phone calls, and we don't get to anything else for the rest of the night. But I'm glad that my little attempt at a diversion away from talking about the presidential politics cesspit. I'm glad that there was some appreciation for that. Because the fact is, it provided me a little bit of relief too. And I think that's what I'm going to try to do. Being as how I know, or I suspect, I surmise, that if the person we think is going to be the nominee is in fact the nominee, that person will manage to screw up on such a monumental level that we will wind up with President Trump. I think I'm really going to make a genuine effort. It's okay, Sparky. I've been known to put mayo on a hot dog too. We're as Tracy informed us, white people and mayonnaise. But just claim that you're Belgian. It'll be okay. Right. So. No, I'm going to try to avoid presidential politics. And we'll talk about it when you bring it up, kind of the way it happened last night when Kevin and Jim brought it up. But there's a whole lot of other stuff out there in the world, and it seems to do the world a bit of a disservice to just constantly be fixated on presidential politics when there are morons out there and titanic intellects. Titanic intellects. Oh, yeah. Now, see, tomorrow, June the 1st, would be Prayer Meeting Wednesday. But I really don't think that this will hold. I mean, it would. But this represents an attempt at real right-wing thinking. And it is, if anything ever has been, Titanic in its scope. I mean, it's hold below the waterline. It's gonna go down, and the boilers are gonna get wet before they even the idea is even fully formed. Larry sent me this. One of the Larrys. We have many Larrys in my father's house. Are many Larrys. One of the Larrys sent me this story. And I had seen it as well earlier in the day over at Right Wing Watch. This has to do with the Pope of Colorado Springs, James Dobson. James Dobson is, to say the very least, mightily, mightily upset. Whatever do I mean by that? Well, he wrote a column for whatever tax-exempt hustle of the commons organization he's heading these days out in Colorado Springs, the juncture of the Jesus jockstrap. If the Deep South is the buckle of the Bible Belt, well, Colorado Springs is the juncture of the Jesus jockstrap. Don't try saying that quickly. You'll hurt yourself. And what's he upset about? Potties. Of course. He's an evangelical Christian in America and a right winger and a you know, Republican voter. He's potty mad. Sounds like something they chant in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. That's two nights in a row with a Temple of Doom reference. Potty mad! Potty mad! No, that was Kali Mar, wasn't it? Never mind. And into the mix, he adds, you know, what always brings a degree of... It brings it closer to home when there's some sort of personal aspect to it. And you'll remember that, just by way of history, in his personal testimony, James Dobson, proud son of the University of Southern California, he with his EDD from USC, James Dobson said that at the tender, he was raised by evangelical tent show hustlers himself. At the tender age of 3, he realized that he was a sinner. And he toddled down the aisle in one of the tent meetings his father led and confessed his sins and gave over his life to Christ Jesus. Yes. That's what kind of woohoo we're dealing with here. So he wrote this thing, and then it got picked up by Wingnut Daily. So get the hockey puck, get the duct tape. Here it is. Potty mad. What's wrong with him? He's got the potty madness. How the world has changed. And you know, remember, James Dobson is roughly the same age as Methuselah. How the world has changed. Who would have believed a day would come during my lifetime when boys could meander into the private sanctuary? Wait a minute. Sanctuary! Sanctuary! Into the private sanctuary of girls' toilets. Sanctuaries? Really? They're sanctuaries. Okay. You run. Women run to the bathroom, I guess, when zealots from Holy Mother Church are hot on their heels to burn them as witches. Sanctuary. Or that it would someday be a civil right for men to use women's locker rooms and showers without permission or apology. Would it be okay if they apologize then? Is that what he's saying? Hard to tell. He's on a roll. Imagine sex-absorbed junior high boys. I'll bet you're imagining them, James. I'll bet you're imagining them, Doctor. Ogling the bodies of developing pubescent girls. Or standing beside them in their showers. Have we gone absolutely mad? Whatever happened to modesty, safety, and Christian mores? Did it upset you when the President of the United States ordered every public school in America to open all its bathroom facilities, including those that are in use by a member of the opposite sex? Yeah, that's what he did, President Obama said. Just fling the doors open and let everybody have a good look. Yeah, if little Johnny's over there taking a pee or you know, little Matilda's in there having a poo, we're all just going to point and stare and laugh, all right? And we're going to point and stare and laugh. The president's order made me furious. And then, sick to my stomach. How dare this man do something so audacious and unthinkable? His letter... We'll come back to unthinkable in a minute, I think. His letter from the White House carried an implied threat to withhold federal money from local schools, which rocked the halls of public education. Who is this politician that is spending your hard-earned tax dollars to manipulate school officials anyway? Who is it that is warping our children? It is Barack Obama, one of the worst presidents in American history, and it is time we stood up and said so. Obama, acting like a king, is wielding dictatorial powers never envisioned in the law. He is determined to change the way males and females relate to one another, and worse, how children perceive themselves. Fluoride, Mandrake, in children's ice cream. No, that's not in there. If you are a married man with any gumption, surely you will defend your wife's privacy and security in restroom facilities. Would you remain passive after knowing that a strange-looking man, dressed like a woman, has been peering over toilet cubicles to watch your wife in a private moment? Wait, Obama's... because the paragraph starts and he's talking about Obama, and now he's talking about men peering... Oh... What should be done to the pervert who was using mirrors to watch women and girls in their stalls? If you're a dad, I pray you will protect your little girls from men who walk in unannounced, unzip their pants, and urinate in front of them. If this had happened 100 years ago, someone might have been shot. Where is today's manhood? God help us. I'm not sure, but I think he's advocating the assassination of the President of the United States in that paragraph, because he starts out talking about King Obama and wielding dictatorial powers, and the next thing you know, he's talking about a married man and defending a wife's privacy and a strange-looking man and perverts, and then he wants somebody shot. My God! That is the loving grace of Christ Jesus right down to the ground, isn't it? You are probably aware that Target has taken a stand to allow persons who self-identify as a man or a woman to use the restroom of their choice. In addition to Target stores, the following retailers have also decided against the objection of their customers to create gender-neutral bathrooms. Starbucks, Ross, Walgreens, Toys R Us, and Barnes & Noble. My wife, Shirley, and I will no longer patronize these stores, and I hope millions of others do likewise. Well, we don't have to worry about Barnes and Noble. It's not like these people read books. Let's talk more about Barack Obama, who is a tyrant in many ways. How dare he assault centuries of modesty and moral beliefs? Wait a minute. Time the out. Centuries? Western civilization, such as it is, hasn't even had flush toilets for 100 years. Centuries? I'm pretty sure that there was not a men's and women's loo out on the farm on some windswept prairie 100 years ago. God only knows, phrase, where people went, you know, when they went to eat their magic cracker at Notre Dame 400 years back. Were restrooms an add-on to St. Peter's? Just asking. By what authority does he tell parents and school officials what to teach children under their care? Christian parents, does this outrageous order violate something deep within your sense of propriety? The president has already maneuvered the courts to undermine a 5,000-year-old definition of marriage. I accept that it wasn't, you know, I mean, the 5,000-year-old definition of marriage is when you swap a young and heretofore unsexed female in exchange for some goats and sheep and chicken. No pigs! Camel or two. Maybe a cow. After experiencing his infamous epiphany, now he is determined to change Western civilization forever. Really? I mean, the great plague that swept Europe and wiped out 30 to 60% of the population, that changed civilization forever. The floods and the changing of the course of the Indus River that we think wiped out Harappan civilization, that changed civilization forever. The mass migration of hordes of human beings down from down from the northern European Baltic area and across from the steppes of Central Asia into Europe. That changed civilization forever. The explosion of the volcano, Thera, that is now known as Santorini, and wiped out the brilliant Minoan civilization. That changed civilization forever. Climate change will change civilization, you know, forever. Letting trans people go to the potty is on a par with the goddamn Black Death. Yeah, okay. Because, you know, good God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians, they've got their priorities right there in order. The birthers, the deathers, the baggers, the ninthers, the tenthers, the deathers, the birchers, the booger eaters. Man, they got, I mean, it's a cart. Wait, why is the cart in front of the horse? Oh, well, never mind. God wanted it that way. Now he is determined to change Western civilization forever. He becomes more reckless and defiant as his second term comes to an end. Never has an American president been so absorbed with the use and abuse of power, and unfortunately, he still has 7 months to go. Unfortunately? See paragraph two with somebody getting shot. What is next? Clearly, there are serious implications here for mothers and fathers. I urge you to protect your boys and girls from those who are espousing these views. Shield them from gender feminism and from those who would confuse their sexuality. They will be under increasing political pressure in years to come. Overwrought much, Dr. Dobson? Because let's remember, well, like I said, the whole thing begins with a story from his childhood. When I was in the third grade, I raised my hand one day and asked the teacher for permission to go to the bathroom. She nodded, and I hurried down the hall to the door designated boys. When I had relieved myself, I headed back in the direction of my home room. As bad luck would have it, the doors in the hallway all looked alike. They never had before. No, I added that part. The doors all looked alike, and I opened the wrong one. Two second-grade girls were standing there with their mouths open in disbelief. Then they both screamed and pointed at me. The loudest one said, "You're in big trouble," the other shouted. "Get out of here!" Sweet kids. And James Dobson has been scarred from that day to this and has probably secretly yearned to know what the inner sanctum of a little girl's restroom was really like. After all, a grown man nearing 80, if he's not more than, he calls it a sanctuary. Can't make this stuff up. I was mortified beyond belief. I sneaked back into class and looked at the floor, wondering who might have witnessed my unthinkable crime. That was decades ago, but I haven't forgotten my humiliation. The cardinal rule is that boys and girls never entered each other's private facilities. Never! Let's take a moment to remember, shall we? Sherman, set the Wayback Machine for... Wow, that's disgusting! In one of his books, I have done a dutiful job of forgetting the title of the book. Dr. Dobson, don't ever let him try to put a Band-Aid on you. He'll probably kill you. Fulminated and opined. Yeah, see, I was going to go there too, but I couldn't quite formulate it the way you just did, Lottie. Lottie in the chat room says, the cardinal rule is keep the young boys away from the cardinal. Ta-da! Yeah. Yeah, that one wrote itself, didn't it, Lottie? No, in one of those, James Dobson has been obsessed with homosexuality most of his adult life, if not all. Maybe it's a yearning for that one escapade, that one drunken night in Los Angeles back when he was a doctoral student at the University of Southern California. Yeah, who knows? But he has long been obsessed with teaching parents how to keep their children from catching a bad case of the homo. And, of course, all cases of the homo are bad cases of the homo. I mean, you can't tell me that somewhere in his life James Dobson has not had a man in his mouth. He just has. Nobody can fulminate like that who, no. But in one of those books, in order to teach parents how to keep their children from catching a bad case of the homo, you might recall that James Dobson advocates that grown men, grown naked men, do you like Greco-Roman wrestling, Tommy? Yeah, right. Grown naked men who are the fathers of little naked children, little naked boys, not girls, damn it. That'd be perfect. Grown naked men who are the fathers of little naked boys, according to Dr. Dobson, who has an educational doctorate and is a counselor of families, suggests that the aforesaid grown naked man who is the father of one or more little naked boys take same into the shower with them and lather up real good and get all squeaky clean for Jesus and help the little boy lather up and get all squeaky clean for Jesus. And then the grown naked man daddy is supposed to heft his junk and say, "See, son, I am a heterosexual man, and this is my heterosexual penis. Your penis is heterosexual too." And try not to imagine where the eyeball height of the little boy, because this has to happen when they're little boys, try not to imagine where the eyeball level of the little boy is in that scene, because it's a Christian thing to do. Whoop! And this is the guy worried about trans people going into the restroom of their choosing to take a leak. Oh, is. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I told you it wouldn't have. No, this was more Titanic intellect than it was um, prayer meeting Wednesday. But with all that talk about King Obama, Tyrant Obama, you kind of wish that, you know, Dr. Dobson would get a visit maybe from the very humorless folks in the Secret Service who wear solid black suits, white shirts, and very thin ties and never smile. Maybe they could explain to him that it's dangerous to use the word shot and President Obama in the same paragraph. Nah, it'll never happen, because then James Dobson would crawl up on his cross, and there he'd be, Ernie, I'm right nailed in, and he'd be hooting and hollering from the top of his crucifix about how he's being persecuted for his beliefs in Jeebus, and he'd make another $20 bajillion. See how it works? Sure. Now, in line with that, a little bit of news out of Florida. Yes, oh yes. I remember a few months back when some nasty joker hooked up with George Zimmerman. And the nasty joker owned a gun shop. And he declared that his gun shop was a Muslim-free zone. Mm-hmm. Well, he's back. I'm not going to mention his name. I'm not going to give a URL or nothing. But he's back. And now, his latest hustle, he has got a website where he's doing it. He's selling targets, you know, for target practice, for shooting. They're only $4.99 a piece. And the bullseye of the target is right between the eyes of President Barack Obama, right between the eyes of Hillary Clinton, and right between the eyes of Senator Bernie Sanders. In the news story I have before me, there is no mention of this vicious bastard even receiving so much as a tweet from the Secret Service. Now, he's been selling the damn things for a while there. Nothing. And you know what? I bet the things will sell like hotcakes. And the smiles of the president and Hillary and Bernie have, of course, been stretched, photoshopped to a sort of a Joker style, if you know what I mean. As if they've been gassed with, what was it called, Smilex? The target with the bullseye between the eyes of Barack Obama is called an Obummer target. O-B-U-M-M-E-R. Interesting. I've seen, and yet, oddly enough, the Hillary Clinton target is just called a Hillary Clinton target. It's not called a Shillery target, or a Shrillery target, or a Killery target, or a Hitlery target. Ah, no, that doesn't count in the pool. Now. How interesting. I've seen O-Bummer used by lots and lots and lots of progressive people. I just wanted to mention that in line with the Dobson story, being as how there were so many mentions there of President Obama and advocates that folks be shot. But once again, if the Secret Service is to show up and maybe charge this bastard with a crime, which he probably has committed, there would be beating of breasts and screeching and wailing across the fruited plain. And claims that this was proof that, Obama's going to get our guns. A question coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. He says, Bob, I'm worried about catching to homo listening to all your gay talk. Should I be changing the channel over to the man with the voice fit for print? Well, you can always do that, but it will make your brains run right out of your ear holes, Asa. Absolutely. So as far as I know, the thing with the no Muslims allowed gun shop, that's A-okay. Free speech, baby. I mean, that's not incitement to riot or solicitation of murder or... No. Couldn't be. Right? I wonder if this asshole, and because that's what he is. I wonder if he's going to go to Cleveland and set up a booth outside the Republican National Convention and maybe sell these things. Because they will fly off the shelves like hotcakes. And he's charging $5 a pop for them, and it can't cost him more than 15 cents to print them. Capitalism, baby. Hell yeah. You know it. Last July, when he announced that his gun store was a Muslim-free zone, he said, I have a moral and legal responsibility to ensure the safety of all patriots in my community, and so effective immediately, I'm declaring Florida Gun Supply as a Muslim-free zone. I will not arm and train those who wish to do harm to my fellow patriots. Because you can't be a patriot if you're a Muslim. It's mutually exclusive, right? See, this is one of those moments where I just wish I had I wish we had a budget for this kind of stuff, because it would be fun to go down there and walk in and buy a gun from dude, hidden camera and hidden microphone and all that, and just see what happened when, after you'd completed the transaction, you got the gun in your hot little hands and you're out there with your hand on the door on the way out, you say, Salaam alaikum, man. I'm a Muslim. Hee-hoo! And just take a two count to watch his face turn all plummy purple. Yeah. Some more emails during the course of the filibobster. And there it is. Gets stuff. Nothing gets things. Estilo Sonora or Sonoran style. Hey, Bob, hot dog with mayo? What you're describing me, amigo, is a dog cooked in the Sonoran style. This is a hot dog wrapped in mesquite smoked bacon, grilled and then topped with beans, grilled onions, fresh onions, tomatoes, mayo, cream sauce, mustard, and jalapeno salsa served on bread. Whew. That sounds like heaven. Ron and Raleigh notes, P.S., have you noticed it's only the filthy boys and not the girls doing the bathroom peeking? Well, of course the girls are. They're pure and clean, and they're there in their sanctuaries. They're the flower of American womanhood. At least the Christian ones. Right. Kevin in Colorado Springs says, I beg to differ on your titling of James Dobson as the Pope of Colorado Springs. And I also think it is fitting that since he chose to expound on potties, I would rather that you give him the title of Poop of Colorado Springs. Well, that's hard to argue with, Kevin. I think we'll take your suggestion. This seems so much more fitting, both in what he has done to our economy here in Colorado Springs, and also more aptly fits him considering his fascination with the potty areas of children. Thanks, Kevin. Point taken. Point taken. And, of course, it goes without saying, because Ron and Raleigh sent me a picture of a beautiful Brazilian transsexual. Noting, you think this is one of those strange-looking men in a dress he's speaking of? Because, see, they won't know. All those Christian men out there defending the sanctuary, they're not going to know. They're going to be too busy staring. You know what I mean? Because, you know, love of Christ and all of that, and salvation and grace and lusting in the heart. Right. No, instead, women who are real, you know, vagina-endowed human beings who happen to not be dressed in a Scarlett O'Hara hoop skirt and have a short haircut, they're the ones being accosted in the women's restroom, because, after all, that's what looking like a man who wants to be a woman looks like. I mean, Jesus, God, these right-wingers know absolutely nothing about the trans community. Minus the ogling. A trans person in a Catholic schoolgirl uniform and a little plaid miniskirt up to here, there, could, you know, just sashay right into the ladies' room and think, oh, damn, she's hot. You get the point. Yes. Update from Steve in China, subject line civil society. Over here, it isn't uncommon to see mothers allowing their very young children to relieve themselves in the street if nothing else is available. And the smallest kids wear pants with slits up the back so that dropping a load is just a matter of dropping it somewhere rather than in the seat of the pants. Practical? Civilized? Sometimes civilization is just a simple matter of not staring or pointing fingers, but some Christians have their minds in the gutter so often they just can't be trusted to see it as an occasional toilet. There we go. I mean, and you know, that opens the door to the whole gender conversation. At what point? I mean, I will not differ, or I will not argue that there really are differences in gender. And that it's probably a mixture of nature versus nurture. But a lot of that, a lot of it we do impose on children. You know, we start dressing them in certain ways from an early age now. And yet, not 100 years ago, or a little more than 100 years ago, it was no big deal that little boys were kept in dresses as well as little girls for matters of practicality. But that's all. You know, that's all lost in the weirdos. So we've barely scratched the Titanic surface, I have to tell you. There is much, much more. And we will get to the biggest part, or some part of it, sooner or later. So let's take a break. And see what you've got on your mind, if you'd like to jump into the conversation. Because of the holiday, we have no Green News Report today. And so we'll just take a break and come right back. Thanks very kindly. Indeed. Thank you very, very much. Wait, I've got to find it. Thank you to Mitchell in Portland for kicking in this evening and helping with fundraising. Thank you very kindly, Mitchell. We're going to be, we'll get a jump on June yet. Thank you. All right, you know the numbers, right? 304-663-4676. Got somebody on that line. We're going to take a brief break. Please don't, if you're there, stay there. 304-574-8178 and the Skype line, which are one and the same thing. They're open. Either 304-574-8178 or Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. Okay? And, of course, email bobkincaid@gmail.com, Twitter at Bob Kincaid, Facebook Bob Kincaid. A pattern emerges. And, we'll be back. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio. This is the Horn. We'll be right back. I couldn't resist it. That seemed appropriate. It was either that or Dwight Yoakam and She Wore Red Dresses, but dang, that's such a downer of a song. Saturday night I was downtown working for my FBI. You wonder if the Hollies, did they know? I mean, did they know they were prophets? I know. 6 minutes past the hour. Oh God, I got a stack of Titanic wisdom here. But let's run over to the stress line and see what's going on elsewhere. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey,
Carol in Las Vegas.
Carol, good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, still here. Yeah, I was listening to your podcast from yesterday, actually just a few minutes ago. And you happened to mention that your youngest daughter has taken an interest in the Kennedy assassination. And you said that she's kind of leaning towards the single bullet theory with Mr. Oswald. I'm one of these guys who pretty much read everything about the Kennedy assassination ever written. And I don't have a lot of time here since I got to get ready for work, but I would
That's
like
always
you
our curse.
To, I would like you, number one is one of the best books I ever read on this is called Best Evidence by David S. Lipton, L-I-F-T-O-N. I still have it on my bookshelf. But I'd like you to just give your daughter two messages for me.
Will do.
Concerning this. Number one is, with all the information that's ever been put out there, whether it's good or bad, there's one piece of information that you really don't hear about anymore because it's so damning. And that is that a motorcycle cop who was behind the limousine and to the left of Kennedy as they moved towards the grassy knoll area, the final headshot that killed him, that cop was hit with brain matter and brain fluid, and he was hit so hard that the cop said he thought he'd been shot for a moment. Now, if you look at simple physics, the exact opposite direction from where that cop was hit puts a bullet shot from the area of the grassy knoll. Now, this is not theory. It's not...
No. It's real.
Conjecture. It's real. And like
no, the
I
magic
said,
bullet had to be invented by Arlen Specter, right?
Well, exactly. But my point is to anyone, including your daughter, and I hope I can't, in the massive amounts over the decades I've read, I think this point is in the Best Evidence book. But that sews it up right there as far as I'm concerned, number one. Number two is you can go online and type in a rich man's trick. And I believe it's on YouTube. A friend of mine who's really good at downloading to disc DVD material has gotten me several DVDs. In fact, I gave one to Jim when he lived here in Vegas, and he watched it. And it's very long. It's over 3 hours, and it's not just the Kennedy assassination, but it combines so much of the evidence in a convincing way that anybody interested in that, I just recommend they watch it. And if your daughter's unable to find it or download it or whatever, just let me know, and I'll send you a copy.
Okay, good deal.
Well, and I just, you know, when you mentioned that, you know, I'm such a freak about this stuff that, you know, I just had to say something. And, you know, I would recommend anybody, you know, read the materials, come to their own conclusions. But if you're talking about physics, you know, what happened to that cop pretty much sews it up, as far as I'm concerned. And there are many other things that sew it up, but that was always one to me. And it, you know, it's funny because I don't watch TV anymore, but when I'm at work, I see the TV. And Tom Hanks has been producing, you know, the 60s, the 70s. I don't know if you've seen those, but you've probably seen.
I have. I've seen some of them.
Well, he produced those programs with another guy named Gary Getzman. And when I was a kid in acting school in Los Angeles, Gary Getzman was in my class, so I just thought that was kind of a little ironic thing. And in fact, 2 years ago at the casino, there was a guy playing roulette, and I looked at his name on the pad, and it said Getzman. And I said, "You wouldn't happen to know Gary, would you?" And he said, "That is my brother." So it's a small world.
Yeah, tiny.
Anyway, but do me a favor and just bring those facts up to your daughter.
I will.
And I really recommend her reading that book.
Well, I will recommend it to her.
All righty. And, but, you know, that's it. I got an iron a shirt and go to work and all that stuff. But, by the way, I'm going to write some checks tomorrow, pay some bills. So I made a note. I'm going to send you $25. It probably won't get into the mail until maybe a day or two, but it'll be coming your way.
Well, thanks, Carol. Thanks. And that'll work out nicely. We'll include that with Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge tomorrow.
All righty. All right. Well, when you get a chance, just from time to time, let me know how her progress is coming on this stuff. I'd be interested.
I will. I'll ask her along the way. I'm going to try to. I'm going to try to make sure that she gets. I looked at it on the Trail of the Assassins that I was talking to Jim. You know, his daddy's book. Is available on Kindle. But in talking with my daughter, she said, you know, I prefer, get this for a 19-year-old, okay, Carol? A 19-year-old who says, I'd rather have a book in my hands.
Well, you know, I've never read anything on Kindle myself, but, you know.
I know, but a 19-year-old, she's been, and maybe it's because she's been doing nothing but looking at screens for all of her young life.
Yeah, but with a book, it's a lot easier just to make notes and bend ear pages and stuff like that and go back to it, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Well, have a good night at the casino. Hope somebody wins big.
All right.
And it is always...
Yeah, really.
It's always good to hear from you, Carol.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jim knows this because we talk every now and then on the phone, but the Palms sold, evidently, well, the sale's in the works, to another company, which isn't a great company. So by the end of the year, there may be some big changes in my life. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I guess those are the breaks, you know.
Oh,
anyway,
man, I hate that. Well, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope it's a soft landing and not a blunt force trauma one.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, take care. We'll
talk to you later. All right. Have a good night. Bye now.
All righty. Bye bye.
Our buddy Carol calling from Vegas. Oh, I hate to hear it. That's tough. That's tough that's a sign of the economy still taking it on the chin. I remember the one time I was in Vegas when we were out there years ago. You know, you couldn't find a 50-cent bet minimum blackjack table for love nor money. I don't think you could. A $2 blackjack table was almost impossible to find. You know, it was all $5 and above, because they were trying to get it back, and you know, with the economy was in the toilet, and right. Nothing gets conversation going quite like the Kennedy assassination. Ron just sent me a link to part one of The Men Who Killed Kennedy. And, well, you know, if that's what she's interested in, that's cool. I'm glad that she's interested in that and not, as she was in years gone by, the Jersey Shore. Oh, it used to piss her off when I'd say, you know, I hope Squeaky or Slimy or Shabby or whatever that I hope she gets hit by a bus sometime. That'd make for a good episode. Dad! You know who I'm talking about, the little Oompa Loompa, yeah. Titanic, okay. we all know that Talabama is a hotbed of right-wingery. And this is a real story, and this isn't, you know, this isn't out of the onion. This is stuff that's being reported by the for-profit media down in Talabama, among others by AL.com and WALA-TV. Comes out of Mobile, Alabama, for those not being familiar with the area. It's not mobile, and it's not mobile. It's Mobile. And it has nothing to do with movement. It is a whiteization of an Indian people who lived in the Maubila or Maubila people. They were, of course, slaughtered. But we named a city after him, so okay. Burns Middle School is the location. And, a teacher there has been placed on leave for the remainder of the school year because, well, it'll end in a couple of days. That's some punishment. The teacher passed out something called the L.A. Math Proficiency Test. Let me look in the chat room real quick. Is Tim with us this evening? Because this thing is just filthy with racism. And after last night's story about the yearbook in Moron Go into the Unified School District, you know, with the Hispanic girl holding a knife and the yearbook photo with the black kid holding a gun, right? No, Will, in Chicago, you have not heard of the L.A. Math Proficiency Test because it isn't. But nonetheless, it was passed out to students. One student took a picture of the test after because we got to get some of these older teachers to understand what it means when kids are carrying cameras. You mean one of those Instamatic Kodaks with the flash cubes? No. What it means to have children carrying cameras everywhere they go now. One student took a picture of the math assignment and showed it to his mama, a woman by the name of Erica Hall. Erica Hall then turned around and went to the principal's office, where they were not particularly thrilled. Here's what it says. There's a name blank, gang crew name. Question one. Ramon has an AK-47 with a 30-round clip. He usually misses 6 out of every 10 shots, and he uses 13 rounds per drive-by shooting. How many drive-by shootings can Ramon attempt before he has to steal enough ammunition and reload? Yeah. Question two. Leroy has 2 ounces of cocaine. If he sells an 8-ball to Antonio for $320 and 2 grams to Juan for $85 per gram, what is the street value of the rest of his hold? I'm not kidding. A teacher really passed this out to his or her students in a middle school in Mobile, Alabama. Three, Dwayne pimps 3 hoes. If the price is $85 per trick, how many tricks per day must each hoe turn to support Dwayne's $800 per day crack habit? Raul wants to cut the pound of cocaine he bought for $40,000 to make a 20% profit. How many 1 ounce bags will he need to make to obtain the 20% profit? DeMond gets $200 for a stolen BMW, $150 for stealing a Corvette, and $100 for a 4x4. If he steals one BMW, two Corvettes, and three 4x4s, how many more Corvettes must he steal to have $900? Then there's another question featuring Pedro. And then featuring one featuring spray paint and graffiti. The thing is, this has been going around, according to Snopes, this has been going around since the 1990s or so. Is this all just in good fun? Is that what the plea's going to be? Is the Mobile, Alabama city school system going to issue a statement saying, we're sorry if anyone was offended? Merca. Let's see. That's hold for prayer meeting Wednesday. That one is. So we talked about a little bit last night. We talked a little bit last night about the Cincinnati Zoo incident, right? And this is pretty disgusting. I'll spare you the audio. By now, everybody and their cousin knows what happened. A little 4-year-old boy got over into the gorilla compound. And the 17-year-old silverback gorilla that was at one point shielding the little fella. They shot the gorilla. Didn't like the situation, but they did what they felt like they had to do. Oh, quickly, before we get there, a note from Ron and Raleigh, because this is important. Any note from Ron and Raleigh that begins with Bob, Bob, Bob. And none of the rest of y'all can do that. Remember, this is trademarked. This is a trademarked gimmick. TM Ron and Raleigh. Bob, Bob, Bob. Everyone knows pimps don't use crack. Can't keep up with your money or your hose when you're high on crack. Exactly. And Marty. Yeah, Marty says, so there's no question on there about the party at Ethan's house where they run out of beer and go out on a beer run. On the beer run, Ethan is so drunk that he plows his truck into a stopped car. If Ethan has no auto insurance, how much will his parents have to pay to the lawyer at $400 an hour to get him off on a charge of affluenza? No questions about Trip or Muffy either. And, of course, Gerald observing, oh, that Pedro, he's such a little rascal. I know. Forget it, Jake. It's Talabama. But anyway, back to the Cincinnati Zoo thing. It's a hard enough story to report. I mean, it's a hard story to report. And, of course, because Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe, under God, amen. The country seems to have gone almost as crazy as it's gone over potties, over, you know, that. But just because the country's gone nuts doesn't mean it can't go nutser. Because Fox News, ye have always with ye. Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Oh, hell, why not? Yeah, let's do. Let's get the audio. It's so much more real that way. Shall we? Yes.
Well, in the aftermath, the parents of the child have faced a firestorm of criticism, the mother responding on Facebook, thanking the zoo staff and saying, quote, accidents happen, but she then quickly removed the post. And according to the Daily Mail, the father has a long rap sheet, including drugs and kidnapping charges.
And of course, the daddy wasn't there. And you'll forgive me if I, you know, all the white folks out there on the internet having a hissy about the killing of the gorilla, because this was a little black child. Might be time to get Black Lives Matter on the line. And I'm not being a smartass here. I mean, this is... They're upset because the gorilla got killed. And I guess, well, you know, slinging around a little four-year-old black kid. Not so much. But then again, what do you want? Because, you know, Tamir Rice was only 8 years older, had a gun that wasn't real, and got blown away for it. Stockton Larry observing in the chat room, that right there is why all four-year-olds should open carry to the zoos. Bingo. But the sleazing and the sliming, whatever else happens in the rest of the country, you can always rely on, I mean like clockwork, you can rely on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, to find something even sleazier, even slimier, another way to make it even worse.
2006, he was sentenced to a year behind bars, and protesters and animal lovers have been standing outside of the zoo calling for the parents to be prosecuted. A Cincinnati police spokesman says no charges are being considered at this moment. What's your message for the parents? Because people are blaming the parents now. Some saying the parents need to be charged.
Damn it. Hush. So there's footage there of people standing outside the Cincinnati Zoo with photos. You know, remember Harambe? And, of course, the people who are protesting are all, come on, ready. Everybody knows. One, two, three. White people. Yeah, oh well. Now, what does the father's rap sheet have to do with this? Well, he wasn't with the kids at the zoo. Did it ever occur to you that maybe he was working? Because, see, that's the other side of this story. The daddy has apparently turned around, he turned around his life, which is what we want people who have gotten into trouble with the law to do, to not get in trouble with the law anymore. So that they won't have to go back into the prison industrial complex pipeline. Brought to you by... Never mind. I said I wasn't going to do that. Not going into the swamp until somebody takes me there. Dogman in the chat room noting, in the South, folks care more about animals than black people. If you harm a police dog, automatic 7 years, even if the dog's biting you. That's true. So let's run over to the Skype line and check in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Tracy, I knew that was you.
Well, yeah, I have to call on behalf of the pimp. Wait, what was his name?
Pedro the pimp.
Pedro. So he was a Hispanic young man.
That's because it's the L.A. math preparatory test.
Oh, okay.
But it was given to middle schoolers in Mobile, Alabama.
Well, you know, Pedro has come up to the ranks because usually, and you know, we don't usually have Pimp Day Pedro. He's usually Leroy.
or, you know, Malik or something like that, but it was Pedro.
Well, I mean, economic opportunity, right?
Shit. And they say that we're not a diversified nation. Fuck y'all.
It is a nation of opportunity, Tracy.
Oh, God. I'm always seem to be listening to you guys, to you when I'm in the store. I was in Cost Plus World Market doing wonderful, looking at wonderful barbecue stuff.
No!
Let's go ahead. Okay,
Let's go there.
Are you sitting? Now, what is a barbecue grill? Is that considered an appliance? What is it considered?
That's not an appliance. Barbecue grills generally are sui generis.
What did you just fucking say? What?
They are a thing of themselves. They are their own family. Sui generis.
Okay, because I'm like, wait, you said that really quickly. Okay, I couldn't. Okay, so last week in Home Depot, well, my wife found it because we were in a quandary, Bob, because, you know, we wanted, you know, we have a new house. So what do you have to have when you have a house with a backyard?
You got to have a grill.
So the question was, what do we purchase? Do we purchase a propane grill or do we purchase a charcoal grill? Because we like them both.
You have come to the right place.
But wait.
The decision's already been made.
No, listen, because we're just going to buy both. We're just going to say, fuck it. You know, and we're just going to buy both, okay? Because, you know, there's times you want to grill something, but you don't have the time to get the charcoal just right. But you want to throw something on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Why did my wife, God bless her heart, find a two-in-one? Why is one side charcoal, Bob?
Oh, no. I've seen that one.
Bob, it brought a tear to my eye.
Are we happy? Wait. Time out. Are we happy or sad?
No, we are so happy. We are so even happier because check this out. So the wife sends me to the local Home Depot, and I commence to go. And we also got...
Now, see, there's them Southern roots, because you just commenced to doing something.
Yeah, I just did that. I don't even realize how deep my Southern roots are until I took that test online. How Southern are you? And yes, I scored the 100. Okay. So I'm at Home Depot. And this thing is a monster, Bob. It's a monster. So
did you? Okay, I gotta ask. Did you make them put it together for you?
Oh, I didn't even. They said, "Well, ma'am, because of the Memorial Day weekend, we can put it together for you for free, but you'll have to pick it up." I'm like, "Okay, that's fine," because I have my van is a Chrysler Town and Country, whatever the hell, with the stow-and-go seating, so you could fold all the seats down in the back.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of cargo room, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we weren't supposed to pick it up, actually, until today. Because the guy who comes in to do the barbecue assembly is only in on Tuesdays. Oh, my, that's fine. We didn't really have any plans to barbecue this weekend anyway. I get a call on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
The grill is ready to be picked up.
Oh.
I didn't say it right. I should have said Saturday, right?
Saturday.
I said, okay. It was too late for me to go Saturday. So I said, I comes on Sunday.
No, you're taking it too far now.
No, I did. I said, I'll be there on Sunday. Yes, I did. Because I got real Southern and real Black and real ethnic real quick. Because the only thing I could think of was I was going to have a barbecue grill. And I said it like that, barbecue grill on Monday. I'm awful. I know. So
we are going to have such a high time in hell together, Tracy.
I know.
So Sunday after, and I went there after church. I actually went to church on Sunday. So I rolled into the Home Depot, and they had my grill ready, and they rolled this behemoth out, and I'm like, holy shit, how are we going to get this picture?
And all of a sudden Monday, you think about, yeah, where's the U-Haul?
Right. But, so we're playing with it. It was like that thing when the truck has got, you know, gets stuck in the tunnel.
And you don't want to be hauling ass down the 105 or the three and seven eighths with no U-Haul on a trailer with a dual purpose barbecue grill on the back of it.
No. But what happened was, so we did that, you know, how people, you have all these people trying to figure out how to get something out of us into a space. And I'm like, because they're going to take it apart. And I said, wait a second. Just take the hoods off. Because, you know, and they're like, holy shit. So we took the hoods off.
Well, you were getting Southern just saying, just take the hoods off, weren't you?
Yes.
Wait. I'm giving myself a cowbell for that.
Yes. Just take the hoods off. So I took the hoods off. And so everything worked out perfectly. We got it in the car. My son unloaded it when I got home. We didn't do anything with it on Sunday because I had been running around. My legs were hurting. Alex and Jan were, you know, deep in. Oh, have you seen the pictures of my puppy?
There's a puppy?
I posted her picture on. I introduced her to the Horn family on Friday. I adopted a puppy. Okay, we adopted a puppy.
Aww.
But I adopted a puppy. She is a Rottweiler Labrador mix.
Now, that's adorable.
And she's a rescue.
Very nice.
So, yeah, I did the, because that was a fight in itself, trying to convince my wife.
So you've got a dog that will chew your leg off and then carry it around with a smile on its face.
Yes. And she's a pistol. She's as smart as a whip. I tell you, she's already going out the doggy door by herself. She's already going where she has to go.
You have jumped into this home ownership thing with both feet.
Both feet. I'm telling you, yesterday, my son finished, you know, he put the grill back together, and we did it simple. We just did hot links and hot dogs. There's a farmer's market around the corner from the house, and we have sweet corn on the grill, Bob.
Oh, yum. Now, did you read the instructions and burn it in real good?
Oh, yeah. We see, here's the thing. I raised my son to actually read directions before we do anything with stuff. Yes.
Because you got to oil it up, and you got to build the fire in it, and you got to season the metal.
I will send pictures of it, Bob, because it is. This is how I learned how to grill. My stepfather, you know, the pedophile that he, or child rapist that he was, he's going to teach me how to barbecue. I wish I could have been roasting his body on a spit, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, ooh, I mean, Bill Cosby gave out pudding pops.
Yeah. Oh, there's a whole, by the way, there is a rotisserie attachment. Did I mention that?
Oh, I know the exact unit you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. We have to, because JL was kind of nervous because one of the things that she wanted before we bought it she wanted to get a rotisserie attachment for it. And so I said, well, baby, here's customer service for Char Griller. I think that's the brand. So because it looks like one of those old school, you know, oil drum things. And I said, fine, I'll call. So I called them with the model number of the grill that we were buying. And she's like, oh yeah, you can either buy the actual kit, which will, you know, either one side or the other, or you can buy they actually have an extender, Bob. Yes. That if you wanted to do rotisserie on both sides of your grill at the same time, yes, you can.
So we opted. She said no. She just wanted it for the propane side of the barbecue, and I said that's fine.
Well, I gotta warn you, Tracy. Okay.
What do you gotta warn me about?
You don't.
You're not gonna take my joy, are you?
No. I'm not gonna take your joy. I'm gonna expand your joy.
He's gonna expand. Okay, Horn family, get ready for joy to be expanded.
It is joy expansion time.
Woohoo!
Now that you're grilling things, you're probably going to become a grilling fool.
I've always been a grilling fool, but go ahead.
Okay, a word of advice on charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes in little cubes or little briquettes, don't use it.
No. I have been reading. I have been doing the research.
You buy the lump charcoal. It's stuff that's been turned into it's old pallets, hardwood lump charcoal. It's old hardwood pallets that have been turned into charcoal in a kiln.
Nice.
And
yes,
I
saw that.
Okay, so that's you want to do that. You're gonna begin exploring the wonderful world of seasoning woods.
I've been wanting to toy. I have been thinking about that.
Hickory
and stuff like that.
Leave. I don't care what anybody says to you. Leave the mesquite alone. Mesquite does not. You know what? This is the kind of thing that gets me email. Mesquite burns really hot, but it imparts next to nothing in the way of flavor.
No, I won't. Mm-hmm. W-O-N-T-S.
Yes.
I won't.
Hickory.
But after
you're going to go to your Home Depot and you're going to buy one of them $3.75 5-gallon Home Depot buckets. And you're going to put water in that. And you're gonna soak your hickory chunks. Get them good and wet. Soaked all the way through, and then it only takes one. You throw one chunk on your charcoal fire, and it just turns into hickory perfume. But then once you've gotten, and then there are chunks and chips, and you can buy the little chips, and you can buy a little metal perforated box that you can put. You can soak the chips and put the chips in the box. And you can use that on the gas grill side. So you can still have the smoke taste, even though you're using propane.
Speaking of which, okay, because my son reads the instructions, he's like, Mom, what? And I'm like, what? Guess what? There's a sidekick to this thing, Mom. Well, he said like this, Mom, there's a straight up sidekick. Wait, there's a sidekick to this bitch.
That's where we were going next. After you've mastered hickory, then what'll happen is eventually you will develop a habit where you'll have to go out and work the streets to get fruit woods. You know, old dried grapevines, apple trees that have been cut down, peach trees, pear, pecan. Okay.
You're killing me.
But then I was going to say you're going to sooner or later want to start smoking stuff. And then you are in a different world.
I had a smoker. I had one of those old school, you know, black smokers back in the day, and you know,
Kind of look like a big bullet.
Yeah, I had one, and I did my fair amount of smoking. But the thing is, when you live in an apartment building, you have to worry about people messing with your shit, you know, or your stuff coming up missing. And the thing is, since it's a common area, you just can't leave stuff out. So I am beside myself. I am
I'm giddier. Okay, no, I'm not going to say what I was going to say. So I'm just giddy. I'm just going to leave it alone.
I understand.
Some really bad things, and I'm not going to say that with the Horn family. But I was just beside myself because I'm just like, oh my God, I am just excited beyond measure. Our next purchase will be the barbecue because it's we're fortunate. We didn't get in the triple digits down here. I'm sorry, Sparky, but you were already in the triple digits. We're at 89 degrees today. I'm right now it's 89 degrees. But we're going to get, they have these really wonderful things with the vents, you know, the gazebos for your grill. So we're going to get one of those because my son is, you know, he's learning how to barbecue. He's never really has. And so we just did hot links and hot dogs.
Let's get in touch with the language too. What you were doing yesterday was grilling.
Grilling, yes. I was not barbecuing, we were grilling.
Right.
Tonight will be grilled chicken.
Yes.
When I left the house, Jan was getting ready.
Now once you get your smoker box, you can marinate you some chicken breasts in like Italian, you know, that not creamy Italian, but the, you know, because mayonnaise, but the regular Italian dressing, or like
the plain old Italian dressing.
Yeah, or the Newman's Own works really well. I like the Newman products myself.
I like, you know, Paul Newman. He could do no wrong. So I do typically when I'm shopping, I do support. You know, I still buy his stuff.
So the Newman's Own dressing, you marinate and. And once you've got you slow smoke those chicken breasts. That you've marinated, you know, you just 2-3 hours, and see that's where the real habit begins to develop.
It's gonna be because I'm excited about grilling fruit.
Wait. I got a quick one of these for Jay out in the desert. Jay says, I saw your puppy pictures. Outstanding. Thanks for the rescue. And then Jay adds, sooner or later, you're going to want to start smoking stuff. Quoting me. And Jay says, yeah, that happened to me years ago, and I'm a vegetarian. Hence the cowbell, right? Yeah.
It's you know, when you live somewhere like LA, where you know, much to our detriment, you know, we don't get a lot of rain, hence the drought. So you could pretty much grill pretty much every day. I mean, we can grill into these. You know, we can grill in the winter. We, you know, and
well, I live in Appalachia. I do it in the winter. I smoke in the winter.
Yeah.
It's just that you can't unfold your camp chair there with a whole ice chest full of long neck, God knows what, up to its long necks in ice, and just sit there and look at your watch and drink a beer and look at your watch and put the beer down before you look at your watch because you know you'll pour beer in your lap.
And then you throw
a wet chunk of hickory into the firebox and you sit back and you. It's hard to do that in 10 degrees.
Well, so speaking of long neck, so I have your local Ralph's I have to go find my new grocery store. And just so happens that the Ralph's that I have gone to, you can build your own six pack of beer. Or hard cider or hard soda. So I had.
Don't you be breaking my heart and tell me you drink that hard soda crap.
Look, this is what happened. I've never had it before. And so that's why I was very happy to get the six pack because I can try different flavors without making a commitment to, you know, a whole six or 12 pack because that shit can be kind of expensive.
So I got the, it was, let's see, red, let's see, cherry cola, orange, ginger ale, and root beer. Was not that impressed with the root beer, but the orange soda was like drinking an orange crush with a kicker.
That's generally been the response, that the root beer is just cloying and sweet and bleh.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't cloying. Now, the red, the cherry cola, that was cloying. But I haven't tried the ginger ale yet. My son liked the root beer. I was not impressed. As a matter of fact, it was hilarious because he put the groceries away when I came home. And he called Sunday, and he calls himself high in the root beer. And I said, son, now, how you going to high? You didn't buy it. I said, you know, once I open it, if I don't like it, it's yours. Or I'm just going, you know me, I take a sip of something. Yeah, and I'm dead. So you're going to more than likely wind up drinking it anyway. I didn't like it. He liked it. I did like
the orange. By the way, I have a communique for Alex.
Yeah.
From Gerald, the amalgamated brotherhood of men shop steward. He said, tell Alex that he could very well get his man card revoked for doing stuff like reading directions.
That's what happens when a man is raised by a woman. That's a single mother. That's what I know. You know, it's like, wait a minute, I put this together, and, you know, the true showing of a man is when you put something together and it's standing upright and you have pieces, you have extra parts. Am I right? It's like, you have extra parts. So what's the problem? It's like, because I'm pretty sure those
things had a purpose.
They had a purpose. There was a reason. I'm pretty sure when they made that in China or Taiwan or Korea or wherever, not made in the USA, it was. It had a purpose.
Somewhere, a 29-cent an hour Chinese engineer is weeping.
Right, and you know, and see, here's those things that you know that when that it tears you apart. Because, and I don't even know if char griller is made in the USA. I hope it is. I've given up. I've given up looking for stuff made in the USA. I mean, Bob, we're old enough. Remember how, you know, if somebody bought you a gift or anything that was made in Japan or China or any of those other places, you would be so offended. You would look at them like, what?
Right, and now it's the exact, okay, but now there's a different hierarchy. Made in Japan, high quality. Made in China, look out.
Look out. You know, it's probably lead-based.
Well, melamine, lead, those parts.
Those little things, you know, it's like, you know, when they had the Olympics in Beijing, and I'm just surprised that nobody left there with black lung disease.
Oh, well, it takes a while to develop, first of all. By the way, note coming into you from Darlene in Connecticut. Tracy's new pup is freaking adorable. Beautiful coloring for the coat. That pup is going to get spoiled.
Oh, going to get? Going to? Actually, I've been very good. I have been working on training her.
Sleeping in the bed yet?
What, huh?
Sleeping in the bed yet?
I don't know. What? Excuse me. Bob, I think we're breaking up. What?
I said, is the puppy sleeping in the bed yet?
I know.
No, I know. Puppy's already in the bed.
Okay. I know that was a dodo. We should never have let her sleep in the bed. Half and ever. Today we worked on stay and sit and come. You know? So we're working on these commands. We're working on barking. We actually had a friend come over, and she started a little low growl, and I'm like, no, and, you know. So I've been, you know, I'm doing the training, which is amazing because I've never had a dog before in my life, okay? Jan and Alex have had dogs. I've never had a dog. So I've been I have been doing the training, and it's, you know what, it's fun. We're working, one of the main things we're working on, though, like you said, she can rip your leg, you know, and carry it with a smile. She's a biter. I mean, and it's only when she's playing, you know, she gets to playing and she gets excited and then she starts taking little nips. So I'm learning what to do with that. If she starts to bite, I tell her no, and I give her her chew toy. This is what you can bite on. But are you ready for this? We've had her since Friday. Not one shoe has been chewed on. The furniture has not been chewed on. No cords have been chewed on. I tell her no. She looks at me with those puppy eyes. I'm like, I don't care. No. She hasn't chewed up anything. She hasn't even tipped it. She tries, and I say no, and she goes about her business. So I know this is it's going to be a long process of, you know, learning how to talk to your puppy and stuff like that. But I'm having a ball with her. She's a lover. She's just the sweetest thing. Her mom, she was a part of a 6-puppy litter. She was not only the girl, but she was the run of the litter. Her mommy died of milk fever right after she gave birth. So she's only 2 months old. She had one of her brothers was being adopted. Was being adopted as we were coming in. He was leaving. This guy adopted her brother, one of her brothers. Now, this guy had to be about 6'5", 250. He had both arms holding this dog as a puppy. And I'm like, oh, bruiser. So, yeah,
I just found the pictures. What a fine.
You see that face?
What a face.
Oh. And her name is Kimba. Now that was the fun part. Cause, you know, Alex and I, we were trying to do a kind of a Disney theme. We were going to do Milan or something like that. So Jan was like, I want something exotic. I want something Native American. And I looked at her and I said, sweetie, there is not what I said. We had been born in the Midwest or the East Coast. We could get away with a Native American name that we could pronounce. We're from California. Not a lot. We don't have, I mean, of course, there's Native Americans out here, but we don't have a lot of stuff named after Native Americans. So, it's, you know, we got to keep it simple. So we were going, she did like Mulan. And she said, ooh, Moo Moo and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm going online looking for fun pet names and I see Kimba and I'm like, oh, that's it. Because the only thing it made me think of was when I was a kid coming home from school and watching Kimba the White Lion followed by Speed Racer. So I'm like, when I said Kimba, Alex had no idea what I was talking about. I told him, Google that shit. And he's like, okay. Jan kind of knew. And I'm like, I told her, Google that shit. And we saw Kimba. It was unanimous because guess what the dog's name was? Online.
What?
Are you Pixie?
No.
See, everybody that said Pixie, we looked at each other. I'm like, I'm not a gay man. I can't have a dog named Pixie.
Let's not stereotype.
Why did all my gay male friends say, oh, that's such a cute name?
Okay, so maybe you're not stereotyping.
No. They're like, oh, my God, Pixie, that is so adorable. And I'm like, oh, you bitches. No. You're not. It's like, no.
Isn't it nice not to be a fundie? You'd have to have named it Sinner or something. I mean.
Something. You know, it would have been Beelzebub or, I don't know. Actually, I was looking for a couple of biblical names because some of the biblical names are badass.
Well, they are. I was just thinking of Star Trek names. Darmok or Jalad.
I was actually thinking, Uhuru because, you know, she's black.
Yeah.
Oh, but
yeah.
I said, but see, again, Jan,
good on you getting a black dog, by the way.
Hey, wait. I was just like,
when I saw her, because the name of the shelter is called Fur Baby Rescue, so the only thing they rescue puppies. And so when I saw her online, I was like, oh my gosh, she's gorgeous. But Jan was concerned. She's like, I don't know what's going to happen if she doesn't like us. I said, Jan, I'm more concerned that you won't like her or what have you. So we go to the puppy place. Now, again, remember, Mama Tracy's never owned a dog, right? So we get there. They bring her out. And it's like, as soon as we locked eyes, I'm like, oh, my God. She looked at Jan and said, I don't know you. I want the big black one.
Well, I've started something. Gerald says, yeah, Shaka would have worked. You know, Shaka, When the Walls Fell.
Ooh,
another Star
Shaka
Trek.
Zulu.
Oh, well, there's that, too. And then Ron up in the warming far north just sent a single line message. Con!
Oh, again, see, the thing is.
But those are boy names.
The wife. Yeah, see, and so it's actually, if you think about it, Kimba, the White Lion, was a boy, but, you know, whatever. Transgender name, whatever. You know, I just,
oh my God, you've got a transgender puppy. Wherever will it go potty? Which part of the yard?
What side of the yard will she go poo in? Holy shit. Oh my God. Whatever shall we do?
You know, I'm just guessing by the photographs that she's going to be a big girl.
She's going to be a big girl. She's going to be a good big girl because they're not, like I said, she's a Rottweiler.
No, I get that, yeah.
But you see the snout, but you see those paws and those ears. Definitely, you know, Rott and Lab.
Oh, no. Is it Lab or Golden?
Lab,
okay. She's gonna have something. Have to have something to carry around.
Yes.
Or she will find something to carry around.
She already.
And it might be you.
This massive. We're teaching her about the biting. Well, I am about, you know, playing tug of war, and I was playing with her this morning tug of war, and I'm like, this bitch is strong, and I mean it very affectionately. It's strong, and I'm pulling, and you know, because we're, like I said, I'm learning. She's trying to teach her how it's okay to bite certain things, but not mommy's hands and not the furniture or what have you. So you know, I'm teaching her how to, you know, like release or drop it or what have you. So I mean, I'm learning these things. It's a work in progress. My family is in hysterics. They are in they're among, because it's like when I was pregnant with Alex, they're like, wait, Tracy's pregnant, right? And so, because I didn't want any kids. And so when I sent the pictures off to my brothers and sisters, they looked at the dog and everybody's like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. And then my sister-in-law was like, has anybody mentioned it? I know I shouldn't say this, but does anybody realize the ramifications and what is happening in the world? The world is you know, as the world turns. This is a earth-shattering moment. This is a changing moment. I have a dog. So, you know, not the fact that people can, you know, transgender people can go to the bathroom.
No, stop the world. Tracy has a puppy.
Stop the fuck by the fucking world. Tracy has a puppy. She is madly and completely and totally in love with. She is with, I'm now understanding these people who have dogs and, you know, when they come home and the dog rushes and licks you and kisses you. And it's just, nobody has ever been happier in the world to see you.
Yes.
I now get it. I now get it. I mean, and she's going to be rotten. We already
know.
Well,
see, this loops back into the barbecue thing, Tracy, because like I said, you know, you've been bitten now, and you're just going to have to live with the disease.
is a disease.
And even if you get the smoker side box, I'm guessing you're not going to be happy until you have a standalone smoker that's all it does.
I remember I told you I was in Cost Plus World Market. Now, I don't know if my foreign family realizes this, but my very favorite color in the whole wide world is red,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Why did they have a red standalone smoker?
Ooh. Well,
in Cost Plus. And I walked away,
And having a smoker makes you want to have lots of people over to hang out and have fun. Because you're going to start putting, and don't buy those damn Boston butts. Buy the whole pork shoulder with the skin still on it.
Ooh.
And you're going to start smoking those. And when you do it right, low and slow for a long time, and the meat just forks off the bone. Well, the bone that the meat forks off of is going to be hickory smoked too. And little Kimba is going to go hog damn wild for that bone. And that's one of those bones it's okay to have.
Yes. And see, these are those things that I'm learning. See, like I said, Jan and Alex know about dogs. I'm definitely at a learning curve because I don't, everything that I'm learning, you know, from watching. And I found this really cool guy. I love the inner tube, whatever it is.
Yep,
the interweb. You find so many good things. And there's this guy, Zach George, I believe his name is, and it's the dog training. And all these videos are free on YouTube. And watching him, and because it's like, it's not about punishment. It's about, you know, reinforcement, having fun, and making it, so you and your puppy enjoy being the training experience. Because see, since she's such a small puppy, she's on quarantine until she goes to. And this place is great. The adoption cost us $450, but that includes all three rounds of her shots, her first vet visit. And also when it's time for her to get spayed, all that covers the $450, and it's a donation. So basically, you're just paying for the services and stuff like that. So anybody that's listening to this and they're looking to rescue a puppy, you must go to Fur Baby Rescue. They have a Facebook page, but they're wonderful, and the way you could just tell how much they love their dogs. There's dogs and kittens, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't like cats. If I've offended anybody, I apologize. I don't like cats. Make me nervous. But here's the thing: I don't like cats, but they like me because I go, and whenever I go to a friend's house that has an obstinate cat or what have you, they seem to gravitate towards me, and I'm like, don't like you, but okay, I'll hang with you. And I think it's just like, you know, I'm sorry, Horn family, for you guys that own cats and love your cats. I don't do cats, but they have cats, they have kittens, they have puppies, and then next door they have a German Shepherd rescue. So it is just a wonderful, wonderful, they're just happy people. And it's just, you cannot walk out that place and just not be happy. But when as soon as I saw her, it was just, and of course, Sunday was the first time I've actually left the house for a long period of time.
Well, right, because I wanted to ask you, I mean, so the wrappings are all off your legs and...
Well, okay, so the wrappings are off my legs. I am now imprisoned by compression stockings. And anybody who has ever worn these bitches, very Chinese torture chamber. I mean, I have to say that because of the swelling, me wearing the compression stockings has definitely aided in reducing the swelling. But has anybody, they are, they,
they're horribly uncomfortable. If you, I mean, they can be comfortable, but the thing is, you have to put them on just right. Because if there's this one little gathering part, it'll cut off your circulation. It's horrible. But I did find they make these things called a stocking donor. And basically, it's this metal tube kind of thing that you put the stocking over. And you just step into it and you pull it up. And then it helps you pull your stockings all the way up. So, yeah, it's a pain. It's been a week yesterday, and swelling is going down. I go back to the doctor on the 10th, which is next Friday, to see how this leg is doing, the right leg is doing, and if everything is okay.
Then you start plotting against your left leg.
Right. And so it looks, I have a feeling that I will have more than likely have to wear compression style hosiery for my birthday party. So, which is fine because I will figure out an outfit. I don't know.
Well, I mean, do they come in like colors and thigh high and, you know, lace topped and garters and.
Well, I actually saw, hey, they do have fishnet.
No, stop it. There are not fishnet compression stockings.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I found them. I saw them. You go on, and whoever's on the closest to the computer, it's called, I believe the website is compressionsale.com or something. That's where I found my panties, my stockings, because I had to wear the thigh highs. And they had fishnet compression hose. Come on now. We're talking to, you know.
Next thing you'll be telling me, there's Cuban heels.
There's what heels?
Cuban heels with Cuban heeled compression stockings with seams up the back.
I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, look, you know what? There's a market out there, Bob. We got
capitalism.
You know, it's capitalism. I mean, right now there's a concert that's supposed to be happening in October, and there's this huge. They're calling it Coachella.
Well, no, you weren't with us. You weren't with us on Friday. Billable Rick is going to Geezercella.
He's going to Geezercella?
Yeah.
Well, they just announced, I hope he has actual seats and that he didn't do the lawn thing.
No. He's like in the 26th row.
Okay, because they screwed people over. They said that, they sold the lawn and said that people could bring, blankets and, chairs. I mean, we're talking, the youngest person on the lineup is Neil Young, and he's 70.
Yeah. It proves my geezerhood that I would love to be there.
Oh, look, I would love to be there, too.
I mean, how many more times can those people be on the same stage together?
On the same stage again, but here's the rub. Herein lies the rub. They oversold. And so now they've just announced that all those people that they said that can bring their lawn chairs with and blankets, no. You have to, it's going to be standing room only. So this moment on this radio station is called The Sound, it's classic rock. They said, oh no, here we go. Hit replaces, remember to do this rocking five. Who's going to be able to stand up for that entire concert? That is so wrong. That is so messed up that they did that. You know, I mean, you're going to have a group of people who, like you said, first of all, the fact that they're all together in one spot, you know, but then to oversell it so people, who expect it. And it's not like you're not going to go, right? I mean, I told Jan about it, and she kind of perked up, and I'm like, and I told her, no, baby, unless you can buy it, because I'm not standing. I've been to two Grateful Dead concerts, okay?
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. It was not really because I wanted to go. This was 20 years ago almost. 20 years and like 70 pounds ago, and even and I was
yeah. I just see you walking through walking through the parking lot. Need a miracle, need a miracle, need a miracle.
I wanted so badly just to go somewhere and die. Actually, I did have what annoyed me because
did you have parking lot food too? I mean, did you have the whole experience?
I did the whole experience. But here's what pissed me the fuck off, because I have been to concerts. By that point, I have been to, you know, Janet Jackson, Prince, Tyler Bell, Anita Baker. What do you do at these concerts? You sit your black ass down. Unless it's, you know, one of your songs come on, one of your grooves, you get up and, get, you know, you shake a groove thing or what have you, get your groove on. When the song is over, you sit your ass back down, right? Not so much at the fucking Grateful Dead concert. They live to
You want to see the show, you stand up.
Right. And I'm like, and I'm looking at my boyfriend at the time, I'm like, what the fuck is this? I was beside myself. I'm like, wait a second. I don't remember how many motherfuckers were called that day, but, I mean, like I said, I had a good time to a certain extent. But after I got over the annoyance of having to, like you said, if you don't stand up, you don't see the show. And I was fine with that. But the problem was, we were on the line. So you couldn't sit down. Because had you sat, you'd get trampled. And I'm like, oh my God, these crazy ass white people. Do they not know that you should be able to sit down in a goddamn... Oh yeah, I was undone. I'm like, this is some bullshit. I cussed him out so bad. So the next time we went, we had seats. They played again somewhere, I forget, whatever the fuck. And I said, looky here, white boy. I'm pretty sure I said just like that. Looky here. You are involved with a black woman. There are certain protocols that must be invoked in order for me to enjoy myself at a concert going
experience. And being able to sit down is way up on the list.
And being able to sit my happy ass down when necessary. Thank God, though, I didn't dress. I mean, because like I said, I had no clue about
the... Yeah, but see, here's the fun thing. If you'd been on acid, the standing wouldn't have bothered you.
But see, here's the thing. That's the problem. Neither was I on acid or was I smoking pot. So...
Oh, hey, speaking of pot, I got to tell you, because this is hilarious. Well, no, it's actually a good thing. A group of Republicans and Democrats in the state of West Virginia have actually, six of them in total, have actually introduced a bill to make the possession, use, and growing of cannabis by anyone over 21 years of age legal in West Virginia.
Shut the front door.
And it ain't going nowhere.
Oh, fuck no.
Now, here's the funny thing, though. As of this month, anyone over the age of 21 can purchase, grow, no, not grow, can purchase, carry, and possess a deadly firearm in a concealed fashion.
And they're worried about pot.
But no concealed ganja. No.
See, our country is so
what we've got to do. So what we've got to do is we've got to figure out a way to create a moldable, smokable cannabis resin that can be used in 3D printers, which we will then use to make guns.
Oh. My God.
And then we can have legal pot in West Virginia.
See, okay. See,
Wiley Coyote, you genius.
It's like, these are those things that when I, it's like the you know, like I said, I was listening to you while I was looking for flavoring for my, I bought a new coffee maker that I can actually brew the coffee and have it pour over my eye as it's brewing for iced coffee. What?
Tracy, we've got to talk.
Look, I got to stop.
I mean, there's no video here, so nobody knows what any... I mean, I've seen pictures and everything, but they're just pictures. You're really a white 50s housewife, aren't you?
Yes. No.
No, all this time you've just been pulling my leg. You're really June Cleaver.
I'm really... you know I'm always talking about clutching the pearls now, Bob.
Well, I know.
And you're right. I mean, actually, yes, you know, I'm doing these things.
Coffee makers that pour the coffee over the ice, barbecue grills, home in the country, river of beer over your grandmother's paisley shawl. Never mind the Amalgamated Association of Men pulling Alex's card. You're in trouble, Tracy.
It's so bad. This is one of those things that I love about being an American. And that the whole thing is the fact that when I was growing up, never in a million years would I have ever thought that I would have a home or a dog. Well, fuck it. I never thought I'd be a lesbian, so let's even go with that one. But the fact that I have a wife and I have a puppy.
Wait, Jesus Christ, there's an ice cream maker involved, too. I just remembered.
Yes, I have an ice cream maker. I mean,
honest to God, if you've got Alex, a grown man, running around out there in a red and white striped T-shirt with a little propeller beanie on his head, I don't know what I'm going to do.
No, he has. Now, we did find him a hat. It looks like, you know, those big old gardener hats with the, you know, that if you went to like a high-end boutique, that hat would be $20 or $30, $40, $50.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to HD Supply, which I think might actually be a Home Depot offshot, because it's like, you know, it's very no frills. You go in, you get your building supplies or your household supplies. Well, they had the gardening hat. That bitch was only $5, and I almost cut the boy because I wanted it. And I said, how you go in there and not buy my, you bought you one, but you didn't buy your mother one? And you know I love those kind of hats. So, yeah, we're going to go buy one. But here's the beautiful thing about my current living situation. I travel, eventually, yes, who knows, I might have married a man and have this. But I didn't have all this until I married a woman. I got the American dream, Bob, of a home, a dog, and a wife, and I'm a woman. The fundamentalist Christians have lost their fucking minds. I have done it. I have achieved the American dream with a woman. And I just thought about that. Like I said, not that I could not have achieved it on my own. And I probably, once I finish school, more than likely, yes. But God only knows how long it would take. I have that. Come on. Isn't that the American dream? To have a family? To have a healthy marriage? And a home and a garden and a yard with your dog and your... I only have one kid, so I missed it by 1.2... What is it? 2.4 kids? So I missed it by 1.4. But I have a puppy. And, of course, we're going to get another dog. Because, you know... From what I've read and all that, it's good for dogs to have another dog. So, you know, so probably about a year or so, we'll get another puppy. So, yeah, I'm living a dream, man. I can honestly say that shit.
You are. You absolutely are. Let me translate that into Appalachian accent for you. Living the dream.
Exactly. I'm living the dream.
By the way, Ron in the far and warming north says, Tracy should have been with me on one of my trips to the Carousel Ballroom in San Francisco years back, where I frequently saw Janice with her awful backup band Big Brother, Jefferson Airplane, Grateful Dead, and so forth. Back then, white people didn't dance. They just stood and swayed to the music. Even the cops watching the hippies attempt to dance were stoned.
See, there's a certain thing. And see, here we go with the dancing, because let me tell you, I grew up until I was 13, 14. I lived my life in a white people's bubble. I lived in the white neighborhood. I went to white, even once we moved from
West Los Angeles to South Central, back when it was still called South Central. Culture shock. But see, one of the good things for me is since most of, until I got into high school, junior high, high school, I was surrounded by all white people, and I thought I could dance. And then fucking MTV came along, and white people learned how to dance. And I'm like, you motherfucker. So my game was, my cover was blown. Everybody realized that all black people, myself included, cannot dance. We, you know, there's a certain stereotype that I wish were true, that, you know, all black people could dance, that we can sing, and all of us are athletic. I wish those stereotypes were true, but not so much for me. So for me to dance, I mean, I have rhythm to a certain extent, but as far as doing really cool dance moves and stuff, I can keep up with the beat. I can do that, you know, and sometimes, like as Ron was saying, swaying from side to side. That would be me to a certain, but dancing is hard. It is hard. And like I said, until I had it going on until, you know, like I said, MTV and, you know, white people watching Michael Jackson and all these other, you know, they were introduced to black artists. They're like, wait a minute. And, you know, nothing more embarrassing than when you see a group of white girls dancing and you can't do it. I didn't pledge a sorority. I wanted to be a Delta. I did not pledge a sorority, a black sorority, because I knew I would not be able to keep up with doing the stepping. You gotta know your limitations, Bob. And I know my limitations, and that's why I dated white guys, because I just, you know, I didn't. They thought I was doing, knew what I was doing. I'm like, years, you know. I didn't dance around my family. I didn't go to a black school, so I didn't worry about black dances. So yeah, I wasn't as bad as Whitney Houston, though. I can talk about Whitney, right? It's been long enough, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I wasn't as bad as Whitney. It wasn't that bad, but my family makes fun of me. They're so mean. They're so mean. They're like, you know, you hung out with white people way too long, Trace. And I think that's probably why I get so angry about when I hear white people do certain things, because I feel that part of my life was just not so much stolen, but it was just like, damn it, there's just so many things that I did not see. Here's that thing about, you know, when you get drinking the Kool-Aid and you make yourself think that you are less than because of what the, you know, the dominant culture is saying about your people. So I did everything that I possibly could not to be black. So of course I didn't learn how to dance, because that would be deemed too black. Of course I didn't learn how to speak a certain way, because I didn't want to be deemed as too black. Of course, I didn't learn how to cornrow, you know, those things that, you know, I considered myself beneath me to learn how to sit on the front porch and cornrow, you know, the brother's hair from the neighborhood. Oh no, that was beneath me. But it wasn't. That's just part of who some of my people are or were. But I was so entrenched in being more than what they said I could be that I just said, no, I don't want to learn how to do any of these things. Now I did learn how to cook. I did learn how to cook. So, you know, there is that one takeaway. But it's that, because the fact of the matter is I didn't know what it was like to be black, because I was taught that anything but being black was better than being black. So I didn't want to be black. So then when you see, you know, like back in 1977 when they showed Ruth, and I started reading and learning about the fact that, you know, everybody in Africa was not a pot-belly starving Ethiopian. That was not the entirety of Africa. And that, you know, my people were kings
and doing algebra and building pyramids and all these things while certain people of a parallel persuasion were still living in caves and shit. You know, when you find out who you are or who you came from, it opens you up to the so many great and wonderful possibilities. But we can't let the Negroes know what they came from and who they can be, because we want to keep them as our, you know, being brought to heal.
Well, absolutely. Super predators and all that, right?
Because, you know, because we're super predators. See, that's what you
Well, I got one for you, Tracy. I got one for you here. It's, you know, if you go to law school, one of the sages there will sooner or later start spouting these little legal one-liners, like, and this is the one: hard cases make bad law. And what that means is when you've got a fact pattern in front of you that's really awful, you come to conclusions that you really don't want to apply to the rest of everybody. But that's what happens. So,
right.
I will consider this to have been at least a cracking open of the door. Let's remember that Bernie Sanders is unequivocally opposed to the death penalty, right?
Unequivocally, yes.
Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton, on the other hand, thinks that there's just sometimes there when somebody just needs a good killing in the name of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the background. Meanwhile, across the
Back
street,
at the ranch.
Meanwhile, across the street from the Capitol of the United States sits the Supreme Court building, and that Supreme Court building is down a justice right now.
Yeah, wonder why there, Bob.
Yeah, wonder why. Although I don't think that if Merrick Garland was on the court, this would have made a dime's worth of he would have made a dime's worth of difference in this case. So what you got is a really, really nasty case. Lamondre Tucker of Shreveport, Louisiana, Stan, back in 2008, was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to death for killing 18-year-old Tavia Sills. Tavia Sills was about 5 months pregnant.
Great.
He shot her 3 times and he dumped her body in a pond.
Okay.
There really doesn't seem to be a lot of argument about that much of the case. He done it with his freedom protector in the pond.
Okay.
Now, here's where it gets a little complicated. So they took him to trial. And at trial, the jury heard the facts, you know, which will make anybody just recoil in horror, right?
Right.
And they said, he got to die. So they sentenced him to death in Shreveport.
Does Louisiana stand?
Right. Now, at the time that he was convicted, outside the courthouse there in Shreveport, flying at or near the same level as the flag of the United States of America.
The Confederate flag?
Was the Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamondre Tucker argued to the Supreme, to other courts, and ultimately to the Supreme Court, listen, if I had been tried across the river in Bossier City, in Bossier Parish, I might not have been given the death penalty. Because Shreveport is a seriously racist place, and young black men are sentenced to death in Louisiana at a shockingly higher rate than white folks.
Gee, I wonder why. Color me surprised.
Well, the Supreme Court heard that argument. And remember, a 4-4 tie and everything is status quo.
Right.
And nobody bought into his argument that somehow or another being tried in a county that was still flying the Confederate flag meant that the place was chock-a-block with racists and that that's why they gave him the death penalty. None of the other courts did. None of the other courts did. I mean, because, I mean, yeah, we're... I mean, Justice John Roberts has already said we live in, you know, we don't have to have the Voting Rights Act. Because, you know, there's no more racism in America.
Well, we got a black president. Yeah. I mean, didn't you get the memo?
Yeah. Why can't you people be happy? Got a black president.
Black folks, you.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Now.
You got a black president, dadgummit. I mean, he's done let the homos get married And now he wants men to wear dresses into precious little girls' bathrooms. What does it take to satisfy you people?
But
there's a point here. So the Supreme Court, which generally is deemed to have a 4-4 ideological split, you know, you got Roberts, Alito, Thomas, and Kennedy on one side, and you got Kagan, Breyer, Sotomayor, and the notorious RBG on the other. They sent Lamondre Tucker packing on a 6-2 vote.
Did you say 6-2?
Yep.
Who were the two dissenters?
Stephen Breyer, the white guy, and the notorious RBG. They said, no, we need to hear this case. This needs to be considered. But the wise Latina, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan both said, nah, kill his ass. Now, again, hard cases make bad law. And there's no doubt that this was a heinous act. He was an 18-year-old kid. The girl told him that he was the father of the baby. Turned out he wasn't.
Oh.
As Justice Breyer wrote, one could reasonably believe that if Tucker had committed the same crime just across the Red River in, say, Bossier Parish, he would not now be on death row. He may well have received the death penalty not because of the comparative egregiousness of his crime, but because of an arbitrary feature of his case, namely geography.
Yeah.
But so much for that wise Latina bullshit.
It's like, you know,
so much for empathy. You know, Tracy, it doesn't even take empathy to say, you know, put him in prison for the rest of his days. Angola in Louisiana ain't a nice place.
No, I mean, it's not. You're not doing your time in club fit when you go to Angola.
And again, 18 years old, you know, that's a... What is that? That's a 60-year sentence,
at least.
And maybe along the way, in the course of those 60 years behind those walls, maybe even incarcerated, maybe he turns into a decent human being somehow, or something resembling one. And maybe he was a decent human being until everything just shattered into a million tiny pieces.
I mean, we have to. You look at, okay. Just taking into consideration how stupid 18-year-old boys are anyway. Okay? And let's look at the fact how he committed that crime when he was 17.
No, in Louisiana, they'd still fry his ass.
I mean, they would still fry his ass. But the thing is, when you're 18, you're still stupid. Okay, my son is just turned 28. All right, yeah, because his birthday is the same day as your wedding anniversary. Yes, May 1st?
Yeah.
So my son just turned 28 years old on the 1st of May. For all intents and purposes, he's still stupid, and he's 28. Okay.
Well, his brain just got done fully forming 2 years ago.
Exactly. Why do you think until a man turns 25, his insurance rates are ridiculous? Because the number crunches.
Trust me, they're not that.
They're
not that awesome at 53 with a spotless driving record.
But you have some sense. You know, in the 28 years. See, I did that math off. Are you impressed? In the 28-year anniversary of your 25th birthday, you have gained some sense.
Bless you, Tracy. I would like to think so.
But even then, you still had, and from talking to you and listening to the stories of, you know, your life growing up, you still have common sense and stuff like that. I mean,
there are those who would argue the point.
I would say, but that, to a certain extent, you know, you have, you know, like my son, there are certain things that he would never do, and there's certain things that blah, blah, blah. But then, like I hear, there's certain things that he still does that makes my head bleed. It's just like, what? For example, and I, you know, thank God he doesn't listen to the show, and I'm about to put his ass on blast. Okay. So you guys know we moved. His license expired on May 1st, right? And I was very proud of him. He made his appointment, you know, at the DMV before his license expired to get his license and blah, blah, blah. What address did my son... And I texted him the address because we have a P.O. box and, you know, we have our home address. So this is the mailing address and this is the home address. Use either one. But preferably the mailing address, because that way if you get, you know, stuff sent to your house, you know, like since that credit card applications and whatnot, that's a sign usually that somebody's, you know, is messing with your identification, ID fraud, identity theft. So I said, just have everything sent to the P.O. box, right? So I go to the mailbox pretty much every day. And he hasn't gotten his license yet. And I said, son, what address did you use on your application? Oh, 5060 Hazeltine. I'm like, son, why? Would you put the address that we're moving from, that we have moved from?
Oh, no, no.
To on your application for your driver's license.
Oh, Jesus, his driver's license is in Lompoc.
So he did. So today he did go to the DMV to rectify the situation, and they're sending him a new license. I said, but he's like, well, don't they call it? I said, no. There's certain son. And see, I guess I have to take some responsibility for that. But I'm like, son, there are certain things that they do not forward. But regardless of whether or not they forwarded your if they did, why would you put the address?
No, see, because he was trying to turn it back around to, no, you're not going to let him play, are you?
No. I said, because you made the appointment like 3 days before we were moving, okay? So we moved, he made the appointment on like the 23rd or whatever, or that week, or within a week of us moving. Knowing full goddamn well that it takes at least a week or two before you get your license in the mail. Okay?
Now, wait. Okay. So, hold the front door. In California, it takes 2 weeks to get a driver's license?
It can.
Because, wait, no, there are not that many opportunities I have to say that West Virginia is out in front of California.
Well, that's when my mom moved to North Carolina, you know, because she moved in 99. And of course, she had to get a North Carolina driver's license, and she thought she was going to have to jump through all sorts of hoops and blah, blah, blah. She got her driver's license the very same day.
Well, I mean, the same thing happens here. Hey, I got to shift gears on us real quick.
Okay.
Because I want to make sure this gets, I don't know, maybe everybody else already knows. Jerry Fracken Brown, your governor.
Oh, Jesus. Yes, he endorsed Hillary.
He endorsed Hillary.
I wish I could remember exactly what he said. Something about,
Well, no. This is just kind of. I want to use the precise technical term here. This is some bullshit. Jerry Brown said he was deeply impressed with Bernie's performance in the primaries, and he said he has driven home the message that the top 1% has unfairly captured way too much of America's wealth, leaving the majority of people far behind. In 1992, I attempted a similar campaign. So what, Jerry? Because you failed at it, Bernie can't. That you're going to abandon the same, because he's saying Bernie's talking about the same thing he was talking about in 1992, but suddenly it's not okay for Bernie to do it in 2016.
What I loved was his tweet after the Golden State Warriors won yesterday.
What was that?
Well, basically, because you know they were down 3-1.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, everybody was just that's over.
And, you know, and that basically was his tweet. You know, everybody was, you know, basically wrote the Golden State Warriors off. Aha. Isn't it? So I don't know the exact tweet, but I'm pretty sure if you go to his Twitter page, you'll see it. Basically, he was saying, you know, don't give up on people. Don't, just because the Golden State, I mean, whoever the head coach is for Oklahoma, he probably won't be back next season. Because there was no way in hell that Oklahoma should have lost. They only had to win one more game.
Yeah, you know, I still feel sad. Whenever I think about the Oklahoma, what are the Thunder?
Thunder, yeah.
Yeah, they really ought to be the Oklahoma Earthquakes.
Well, they're going to be.
Because they were moved from Seattle in just a brutal move.
Yeah, because they used to be the Seattle Supersonics, right?
Right, right. So, no,
I'm
glad.
Family, y'all should be impressed that I know this, okay?
We are terribly impressed. We're proud of you.
Because I'm impressed.
Stephen New York just said of Jerry Brown, he's a pragmatic progressive now, but he's jealous. Bernie actually did what Jerry could only dream of.
Exactly. See, he's a hater. He needs to put down, my friend said this the other day, and I damn near peed my pants. Stop drinking the haterade, okay? Put the haterade down. And so, we need Bernie. I just get giddy inside because he's had a flood of, he's been really flooding LA television. I'm pretty sure it's just California television, period. But particularly, you know, I don't know what else is happening in the rest of the state because I don't care. Just kidding. But pretty much every time I get I've been seeing a lot of Bernie Sanders commercials about in California about how we can change the tide of this election and all sorts of stuff. What can be done? And when Golden State, and he was at the, and by the way, he was at the game last night. Did you see that?
No. TV.
Bernie was at the Golden State. He was at the game because the game was out here, well up north. So he was in the stand watching the game, and he sent out the tweet about, you know, don't give up, because just because everybody else is giving up on you doesn't mean that we're going to give up. You know what I mean? That's basically how his tweet went. It was an awesome tweet. And what I'm here's the thing, and what I'm loving about it, and I know we weren't going to talk about politics, but we have to because, you know, California. You know, Hillary left California because she's basically like, you know, bitch, I got this shit. You know she's coming back. As a matter of fact, she's having an event tomorrow in West Hollywood.
Really?
Now, wasn't she not a kid? Hillary. Wasn't she against gay marriage? Why are you going to the Mecca? You know, besides, you know, there's this, you know, Fire Island, San Francisco, and West Hollywood. These are
the Sierra Club's like Big Greens. What's Brian Fisher call them? Big Gay. Well, they endorsed her, so you know they'll
right.
welcome her with open arms.
Because she
evolved.
Bitch, again, if I hear that she evolved one more time, I'm gonna fucking lose it. Because I mean, how much more? We don't have time for her to evolve. Because I have this horrible fear that she is going to become, and I don't like living in fear. That my faith does not. That's not how I choose to live my life. But when the chance that if she becomes the presumptive nominee for the Democratic nominee for President of the United States, there is a very strong chance that Trump will win. And what was the last election that we had that nobody liked either one of the nominees? And I'm not talking about white people not liking Obama because he's black.
We keep talking about 1968. Most of the Democrats didn't want Humphrey, and, well, the Republicans were, but, you know, they, and how'd that turn out?
Well.
Telling you. Better get used to saying it.
What, President Trump?
Apparently you're already used to saying it.
No, he's such a fucking pussy. I mean, he's doing all this blustering and all this
Chicken
about
Trump?
Him. And
oh, man, I loved that screen, that Photoshop, once he chickened out of the debate, that Photoshop of Bernie as Colonel Sanders.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean, apparently that came to everybody. They created that hashtag, Chicken Trump, and then immediately a Photoshop of Bernie as Colonel Sanders came up as a way of explaining why Donald was afraid to debate. There was another hashtag. There was another hashtag, Donald Ducks. And apparently that shit's getting under his skin.
Because he's a pussy.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think he's getting close to being that character from Office Space. If I don't get my stapler back, I'll burn this place to the ground.
Oh, the red swing.
Yeah.
I had a red swing line stapler.
Yeah, I want my stapler back. I mean, T-Rump is a mite tetchy.
Well, here's the thing, bitch. This is why, you know, besides the fact that he's an asshole, let's, all that aside, misogynistic, xenophobic, asshole, add another adjective. There's so many to choose from. I just can't think of them all. Just the fact, all that aside, he's just not in any shape, form, or fashion, presidential. There is not one foreign leader or dignitary that would ever take him seriously.
And there you go.
They are laughing. There are people, don't you think that fool in the North Koreans, don't you think these people are just hoping that he becomes our president?
No, I think the world... No, I don't. I don't, Tracy. I think the world's terrified.
Well, no, I'm talking about the crazy ones.
I think the crazy ones are terrified, because the crazy ones aren't really crazy. You know, the mullahs in Iran are not crazy. Okay, they've got a reason for why they do the things they do, and it's not crazy reasons.
No.
I mean, Iran is surrounded by people who hate their freaking guts. You'd be a little paranoid too. Nobody likes North Korea, and you know that's just an authoritarian state, an authoritarian dictatorship that's run on a hereditary model. I don't think they're crazy at all. And the prospect of T-Rump in the White House, I think is extremely disturbing to them, because they could, you know, they've always been able to do business, you know, whether it was George W. Bush or, I mean, Iraq and Afghanistan notwithstanding, you can do business. You could do business. You could do business with Obama. You could do business with Clinton. Hell, I mean, going back to Nixon, you could, you know, only Nixon can go to China. You can do business with Nixon.
Exactly. There, you
T. Rump,
no matter what,
but T. Rump,
you can't do business with this man.
No, T. Rump is a megalomaniacal psychopath, and that's dangerous, especially with a nuclear arsenal at hand.
Okay, so we're going to, I know because you got to go, but I have to go back, go to the, I just posted the late, to make you happy, to close this out on a happy note, I just posted the latest picture of Kimba on the horn.
Oh, okay, well, I got a happy note for you coming from Danny down in Louisiana, Stan. Subject line, Tracy and Puppy. In appreciation to the animal universe, since she now has a dog and loves it, I'm making a donation in a few minutes. I may be meaningless Danny to Pat Robertson, but my pets, outdoor birds, squirrels, opossum, and even raccoons I hand feed, would beg to differ. They think I'm most meaningful, as I do all animals. Tell Tracy hello. I love her. Ciao, Danny.
Oh.
Thank you, Danny.
See, these are little things when we, you know, those moments, because me just adopting a puppy makes the universe a better place. These are those important things, because I saved a puppy's life.
Yeah,
and
you did.
By
the way, I do have to give you a quick update, though. Cindy out in the Great Northwest just notified me. Kim Jung Crazy did endorse T-Rump.
Ooh, I see?
Yeah, and the Office Space guy was Milton, so we're talking about Milton T. Rump.
Milton T. See, again, I pray, as much as I don't want Hillary to be our president, with her hawkish whoremongering. Oh, I'm sorry, whoremongering. I don't know if you're talking about Goldman Sachs. Anyway. Warmongering and ass and stuff like that. I don't want her as president. I will hold my breath. I will relax my gag reflex. And come November, if she's the nominee, I will vote for her. I just, because, you know, I don't want this to turn into 2000 with, you know, Ralph Nader or, thank you, Ross Perot, for get, you know, in 1992? What was that, 92? Was it 92?
Yeah, 92.
In 92. 1992
and the giant sucking sound.
Right. And so thank you, Ross Perot, for that. But we don't need that. We don't need T. Rump as the president. Because, like you said a while back,
and that's why, even though it's my one crummy little vote in a state that's going to landslide for T. Rump, I'm still I'll get hate mail. I'm voting. God damn it, I'm voting for Hillary if she's the nominee.
Right. If she's the nominee, because hey, next Tuesday.
Oh man. I don't know what I would do if there was a 70-30 landslide in California. Probably not going to happen. But man, I would cackle like Hillary did when Muammar Gaddafi died.
Because he took Alaska, he took Washington, and he took Oregon. Yes.
Yes.
So that means if he took California, he took the entire West Coast.
Yep.
If he takes California, rather.
Mm-hmm.
He takes the entire West Coast. So, come on.
And you know, in about 10 days, I'm going to go down to Charleston, and I'm going to be a Bernie delegate to the state convention. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, really?
Yes, I am. But we got to go, Tracy. And Danny did say, "Bingo, Tracy! Indeed, the universe is a better place for your having saved that puppy."
And if you look at her face, you can't help but go, "Oh, goodness!"
No! You start talking like this. That's what you do.
I know, and I do. I love
Tracy,
you guys.
Have a good night. We love you, dear.
You have a good night. God bless you, and keep on keeping on, Bob. Keep it on.
I'm gonna try. You do the same. Will and you know what? Off air sometime, I will share my two most important barbecue recipes with you. I will. See you, Tracy. The one and only lady cab driver. And, hey, it's time to get out of here. Again, thank you very, very kindly. Thank you to Charles and Danny. And thank you very much. Thank you very much to Mitchell. Mitchell, Charles, and Danny, thank you very kindly this evening. Talk to you tomorrow. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Good night, y'all.